Good morning, everybody. I'm Coach Jake, and this is Coach Bob right here beside me. And Coach Josh had some great news this week. Was that first service or second service?
This is second service.
Well, did you talk about it yet, though?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Do you want to tell them?
Both of us are a little tired from yesterday's Project Shine. Go ahead, Jake.
Okay, so we have great news. We didn't want to leave you guys out of the loop on. Josh had surgery a little over a week ago. Got a great report back that what they thought may be cancer was actually not cancerous. They did a little biopsy. So, yeah. So, and, you know, the doctors would tell us, you know, we're not out of the woods yet, that, you know, we still want to keep praying for Josh and things like that. But we've been praying for a long time for good news, and this was definitely really, really good news. And, yeah. So, I just want to lead us in prayer to say just that, what Kelly just said. God, I thank you so much for this great news that we got from the doctors this last week about Josh, and that at this moment that there's no cancer in Josh's head. And God, I pray that you would stay with his body, continue the healing that you've already done. We love Josh, and we want Josh to be fully restored to us. And Jesus, we know that you care about us, and we're going to hold on to you whatever happens, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let me just say this word about Josh. He's had sections of his brain taken out, and he's going to have further treatment. So since he's not here today, I'll just tell you all, let's treat him with the kindest, most TLC we can. Even our well wishes sometimes can put pressure on him. He doesn't need that. So I described him. He doesn't like Denver football any better than I do, but Peyton Manning's still a good quarterback. I said, let us be your front line and you be Peyton behind us. We'll block for you. You throw for us. Okay. So let's do that. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, good stuff. So Josh is a coach here. Wayne is a coach. Bob and I are coaches. And we call ourselves coaches because of this passage of Scripture, Ephesians 4. And I would really encourage you guys to look at that passage. It's one of our foundational passages when we think about where is Maywood headed. And we get the idea of coaches, though, because this passage of Scripture promises us that everyone who accepts Jesus, everyone who says, I want to follow you, Jesus, that God pours out his grace. He gives us a gift. Each one of us a different gift, and it's so we can show Jesus to our community. And so because all of us are gifted, not just Bob, not just one of our coaches, we want, the Bible tells us actually, that leaders are supposed to equip, supposed to empower, supposed to put the right tool in your guys' hands so you can serve God. And so just like yesterday showed at Project Shine, if Josh and Wayne and Bob and I had done all the painting at Project Shine, we would still be there.
One room would be done.
I don't know.
Right.
So instead, Bob helped set that all up. Wayne was there telling people where to go. And so they coached and empowered all of us to serve God. And when 100 of us were serving God together, amazing things got done. Not only did a lot of paint get put on walls, but there were a lot of amazing connections being made too. So that's the sort of stuff that we think this church should be all about. Is that we know we don't have all the answers, and we know you guys individually don't have all the answers, but when we come together and follow Jesus, we can look like Jesus to our community. So that's where we're headed as a church, and we start off every week that way because we think it's really important. But right now we're in a series called The Wounded Healer, and the reason we're in this series is we're trying to look at how did Jesus come to help us. And Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John that he's going to send to us the same way that God sent him. So we're kind of studying what type of healer was Jesus and how can we follow in that example. When we think about independence, if you look around independence, there's quite a few problems, to be honest, Bob. Bob, you want to talk to us a little bit? I know you've done some research on this.
Yeah.
What's the situation like in our neighborhood?
Well, you know, I can give you statistics that are not so good. For example, we're 38% below the median income of the Kansas City metro area. In other words, that's low, okay? And these are things you all don't know. We live in it. We are it, okay? There are lots of ex-offenders who can walk to Maywood Baptist Church. Some of them do, and some of them drive. But there are lots of them anyway. In fact, there are certain pockets of Kansas City metro area that are higher than we are, but we're right up among them. And there's lots of foreclosures. There's lots of brokenness. So I could go through all the statistics. I think what I'd easier to do is say, look around. Quite frankly, we are what Western independence looks like, okay? And so we don't have a lot of cash. We don't have a lot of high degrees, lots of education. A lot of us are living maybe right on the edge. Some of us may be technically homeless. A lot of us would probably like to have a better job. We've all had, not all, but lots of us have had brushes with the law, and we've had times through addiction, and that's Western independence. Here's the difference. We know the Lord, and He's putting our lives together. When you walk out of here, 8 out of 10 people you run into have not met the Lord yet. And we're going to talk about this, but I'm going to just spill the whole beans. It is my belief that the reason why Maywood is like it is, and you're sitting in here right now, is because you're like the story we're going to tell. And God has made you people who have been broken and wounded and hurt and all that crazy stuff. God has made you because you are the very best person to go out into our community and to bring somebody with you. One of my definitions of evangelism is it's one beggar telling another beggar where the bread is. And you are somebody who's been where they've been, and you can take them out there and say, hey, come with me, and I'm going to find you where you can get new life. So now you've got the whole sermon. We can go home. Right, Jake?
Yeah, we'll run it through one more time just in case they missed some things. So I am going to jump us into the problems of Western independence. Most people in America, if they said, how am I going to solve that a lot of people don't have high school educations, or how am I going to solve that a lot of people are addicted to substances, or how am I going to solve any sort of problem that independence is facing, a lot of people would say, well, we need a team of experts. We need a bunch of people in suits that have a lot of money, have a lot of connections to a lot of money, and that they have PhDs or they have some big program. Because that's when we see big problems in the world, as Americans, I think our natural response is we need a big solution. We need a big tool, a big resource to throw at that problem. But we were talking a couple weeks ago that God looked at the world and saw that there were big problems in the whole world, that there was a lot of evil and a lot of suffering and pain. But God's solution wasn't to send some giant, powerful group with a ton of resources. God's solution was to send Himself, to send Jesus in a very weak way from a godly perspective, in a very humble way, to suffer alongside of us, and ultimately to suffer in our place in order to open up a door of salvation, or the door of salvation for us. So we think about God saved us from our giant problems in this very weak way, in this very humble way, in this way that involved a lot of suffering. And then we think about that Jesus said, just like God sent me, I'm going to send you. Maybe we shouldn't look for some big giant program to solve independence's problems. So we're going to look at another story from the Gospel of John where Jesus goes to a town and he saves a town. He fixes a town's needs, basically, for him. So how did he do that? Well, in John chapter 4, if you want to turn there, we're going to be kind of flying through it quickly, but most of the chapter is about this story. And it's the woman at the well is how we normally title this. What happened is Jesus showed up to a town. He was tired. He was there with his disciples, and the disciples go into town to get supplies, and a woman comes to the well in the middle of the day. It's the heat of the day, just like right now if you went outside, the sun is baking that area. Now, in the ancient world, most people would go get water, or a lot of times women would go get water for their families. They would do it in the morning or in the evening. Just because if you're going to have to do some manual labor like that, it's nicer to do it in the morning or the evening. So this lady shows up all by herself at the exact moment when probably no one should be at the well. Now, why would a lady show up all by herself in the heat of the day to get water? Well, as we find out later, she's got this past that she's ashamed of. And the heat of the sun was way less harsh than the way everyone would look at her when she went to go get water from the well. And so she would rather go in the middle of the day when it's hot just to avoid everyone else's gaze and everyone else's judgment. But when she shows up that day, Jesus is there, and he strikes up a conversation with her, which surprises her. She doesn't think he's going to like her because of all sorts of reasons, her past and her race and some stuff like that. So Jesus shows up, gives her value, talks to her about who he is, talks to her about salvation and worshiping God, but he also talks to her about her past and about that she's made a lot of mistakes relationally, that she's had a lot of divorces over the course of her life, and that she's now living with somebody that she's not married to. Jesus talks through all of this with her, and she gets so excited after talking to Jesus that she leaves her jar there, and she runs back to town and tells everybody this statement. If I can get this to work. Maybe. I don't know if our batteries just went dead. Sorry. Can we go to the next slide there, Corin? Thank you. So she tells everybody in the town, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? So this lady that was so ashamed of her past that she hid from everyone is now running around the town telling everybody about her past and about how Jesus has connected with her. And she doesn't have all the answers. She's only just met Jesus, but she's able to say, come and see, okay? Come and see who Jesus is. Now, Jesus shows up to a lot of towns, and not everybody always accepts him. But if we go to this next slide, Wayne, I think you guys are just going to have to control it from here. Yeah. So the whole town comes out to see Jesus, and everyone's really positive about him. And over the next couple of days, Jesus is able to speak to the whole town, and people accept him. So it's this very positive ministry. But how did it start? It didn't start with a big group of experts or a bunch of successful people or a giant army. It started with one person who was ashamed of themselves, connecting with Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and then taking their story and bringing other people to Jesus. Now, the interesting thing is right in the middle of this story, the disciples show up, and they're not really clued in to what Jesus is doing. Can you talk to us a little bit about them?
Sure, please do. Wayne, thank you very much. We're going to do this the old-fashioned way. So here are the disciples, and they came. The story is really quick. I'm going to tell it fast because we want to make some points. Jesus had come to this little town, and he was very tired, and he was very hungry. And the disciples ran into town to get some hamburgers and french fries, McDonald's, and bring them back. And so it was a little bit of a journey in there, but they came on back, and they brought them to him. And they said, Lord, we want you to eat. And he says, I've got food to eat that you don't know about. And they thought somebody else had gone to Hardee's and picked up something and brought it to him. And so, you know, there was Jesus. And Jesus said, my food is to do the will of my Father. And so, Wayne, let's get to the punchline here. And so when Jesus talked to them, he said, I want you to open your eyes. Look at the fields. They're ripe unto harvest. And so his real thing was, he was all about being involved with God's work. And when I look at, there's some really big parts of that story that speak out to us. First of all, we need to look at the fields. Some of us don't know that we're in the harvest deal. Our deal is about coming to church and being good and going home, and that's it, okay? Quite frankly, most people who go to church, it's about let's come to church, give our money, be good, and go home, and let the professionals do it. You all are different from that in that you are engaged. And our reason to preach this sermon and the next one is to get us more engaged. Literally, folks, look at me. There is a world outside these doors who are depending on you. There are folks that you yourself can keep the needle out of their arm. You can keep them out of jail. You can help them get a job. You can help them get a life. You can help them meet the Lord and go to heaven when they die and have a life of heaven until they die. And they are waiting on you. All right? Jesus knew his disciples had that job too. Truth was, they went to town to get food, and they weren't looking at anybody. Sometimes when you go to your job, you're just doing your job and you don't realize that God had put you at your job for ministry purposes, okay? The other thing was these weren't their kind of people, you know, and we sort of have people that we relate to. And if you're not my kind of person, then maybe I'm not going to relate to you. Those were two big hindrances. Jesus said, just look and see them as people that I love. See them as people that I care for. See them as people that I have a plan for their life and I can make their life eternally better. See them like that. So my desire for you is that you will go look in the mirror and give yourself this speech. You ready? Looking in the mirror. Dear friend in the mirror, I have a job to do, and I can do it if I will stay in touch with God. There is somebody that I can reach that nobody else can reach, and I'm going to do it. You got that speech down? I don't need to repeat it. All right, good enough. All right, amen.
Before we get to that slide, Wayne, actually, just the open your eyes idea. When I was reading John 4 this week, getting ready, the Holy Spirit really put some teeth to that for me. And kind of along the same lines of what Bob just said, but do we just come to Maywood is what I felt convicted about. Do we just come to Maywood and try to work on our problems as a group? Because the disciples had their own problems. They needed food, and they took care of that. But they didn't open their eyes to what Jesus wanted to do outside of their group. And I think we've got some stuff to work on. We'll all be honest with that. But let's not just come and take care of ourselves when we're at church. And so we need to pray, God, open your eyes, open my eyes to what you see, to the potential you see out there. So this next slide, have you guys ever had a thought that was new, that like changed your perspective, changed your actions just because it finally clicked, something was different? So I'm hoping that this will be a thought like that if you stick with me. I think a lot of people go through their life, and early on in life, they feel like they have a bag of rocks on their back, and they're trying to swim through life. And people hurt them, and that puts another rock in their back. Or they make bad decisions, and that puts another rock in their bag. And pretty soon, they get to a point where they feel like they're drowning in life. And when they feel like they're drowning, they finally say to God, God, save me. And God just throws them a lifeline and pulls them out of the water and saves their life. I think that's a lot of our view of that's how I got started with God. The new thought I have for us today is that maybe we shouldn't just throw that bag of rocks away. A lot of us want to just run away from our past, run away from the pain that people did to us, run away from the mistakes that we made. But this next slide here, Wayne, shows somebody making a stone bridge. And the reality is the things that happened in your past, whether they were positive or negative, they're building blocks that God can use. They don't need to stay the same. The woman at the well, I'm sure, didn't stay the same after talking to Jesus. But her past story was the only story that she had. And she used that story to help point people to Jesus. Your past hurts and your past failures are part of who you are. And anytime we take some of us and say, God, use this, God can make something awesome out of that. So God doesn't want you to jump back in to your old lifestyle and start drowning again. But what if you took all those past hurts and pains and mistakes and you handed them over to God and said, God, how can this help me build a bridge to somebody else who's going to go through the same stuff? How can this help me build a bridge to help someone else come to you? So this next slide here, I'm going to try to break this down of an example. I told you guys a couple weeks ago the story of Adolfo, one of my buddies in Mexico, and I don't have time to tell the whole story, but the real short of it is he went through a divorce, and he struggled with being so upset. He struggled with murderous and suicidal thoughts. I mean, actually, gun in his lap, thinking about killing people. So that is some incredible pain that he went through. And it is true that if Adolfo came to Jesus, like, Jesus would want to help Adolfo have better relationships in the future with future family members, okay? So he doesn't want Adolfo to go back and do those same mistakes over again. He certainly doesn't want Adolfo to kill people. But what if Adolfo, instead of just trying to forget the pain that he went through in the past, or instead of just trying to avoid it, or even instead of just trying to not make the same mistakes in the future, what if he said, I remember what it was like to despair because I was divorced. I remember what it was like to not want to live and to only want to hurt the people I love. That's despair. And what if he said, I remember that, and I'm going to go and help other people who have been divorced, other people who are going through divorce. I'm going to go and try to bring them to Jesus, try to help them experience Jesus like I did in my time of despair. So that would be step one. And some of us here at Maywood are there. Some of us have struggled with addiction in the past, and now we're helping other people find the same freedom in Jesus that we found. Some of us have struggled with being hurt by others in the past, and we're doing the exact same, reaching out to that same group of people. Maybe I was just hearing a lady today talk about how she was hurt as a teenage girl and how she now wants to help other teenage girls get closer to Christ and be saved from some of those areas. So those are incredible things. That is being a wounded healer, saying the wounds of my past help me to heal somebody today. But I want to take us a step further, and this is the new thought I have for you that I think could change the game first here at Maywood. So what if Adolfo took that thinking a step deeper and said, I don't want to just help people who go through divorce. What if he says, I know what it felt like to despair. I know that like root feeling of hurt. And what if he opened his eyes and said, Jesus, open my eyes to somebody in my life who is despairing and help me be able to go to them and bring them to Jesus. And so he might find somebody who's bankrupt and is despairing about their life, not because of relational issues, but because of financial issues. We might find someone who their dream fell apart for their career, and now they're despairing and wanting to totally give up. And maybe he could help them because he understands the hurt, even if he didn't ever go through the exact experience. When you get to that spot, when you say, Jesus, I know what it is to be lonely, or Jesus, I know what it is to be afraid, or when you say, Jesus, I know what it is to be just destroyed with regret, or I know what it is to be so full of rage that I can't control myself. When you get down to those root problems and pains, those are stones that if you put them on your back and try to carry it, you're going to sink. But if you take that stone and say, Jesus, here it is. I know, I remember what it was like to go through that. How can I help somebody else? Open my eyes to how this could help me help someone else. God will open the doors for you to hit all sorts of people. Because you know, there's probably 10 or 12 terrible, horrible, emotional things that we go through as humans. If you get down to the roots, if you've gone through some of those and you understand those, you can help a lot of people. People that have never been through the exact same stuff you've been through. So that's what the woman at the well did. Not everybody in the town had been divorced. Not everybody in the town was living with somebody they shouldn't be living with. But everybody in the town knew how ashamed she was of her past. And I bet people could connect with, this is a lady who was ashamed of herself, and now she's confidently telling us about somebody who changed her life. I want to see that. I want to meet that person. If you're able to go to people and say, not just, I struggled with this one specific thing, but I know what it is to go through this deep pain. You're going to draw other people to Jesus. You're going to be a wounded healer. I think you had something to say about
Let's move to the next picture. Here we go. So this is one that actually, if you type into Google, wounded healer, this is a picture that will come up. And I'd like you to sort of combine some pictures that we've given you. You remember the bag of rocks? Okay. Well, that lady has carried a bag of rocks, okay? That's why she's on the couch. But the other thing is she's had somebody throw rocks at her. So use your imagination. She's had people who have verbally thrown rocks at her, and she's despairing. But she's also thrown some rocks at her, the rocks of shame and guilt and failure and frustration. And she's just there. She is wiped out because of the load she's carrying, because of the rocks that have been thrown at her, the rock she's thrown at herself. Y'all see that? Now, did y'all see the bridge? Boy, I love that bridge that Jake had there, made out of stones. I like the image of bridges. If we took the rocks that we were going to throw at somebody else, and if we were like how Jake talked about his friend Adolfo, and we get in touch with where we are, and we say, all right, I'd like to throw a rock at this person, but really, a rock isn't what he or she needs. What they need is a bridge. And if we were to take that rock and turn it into prayer and turn it into helping God help us think differently, and if we were to lay some pieces to a bridge together, maybe we could take him by the hand and walk him across the bridge. Isn't that a whole lot better than throwing a rock at him? Amen? Now Jake talked a little bit, just a little in-house communication with us. There's too much rock thrown around here at times, all right? And we can throw them over political issues or national issues, or we can just our inside issues. What if we were to turn that rock throwing around to bridge building instead? Huh? Not a bad idea, right? Some of us have been throwing rocks at ourselves, and we have beat ourselves up so much, we don't think God can use us. Did you all just look at our story from John chapter 4? This was a lady that Jesus used to change an entire community. And she wasn't a theologian, and she didn't have a microphone, and she probably wasn't dressed so well, and she maybe didn't even smell so well, and she had a lousy reputation, and a whole town got changed because of her. One of the greatest joys of being the pastor of Maywood Baptist Church and getting to share it with Jake and Josh and Wayne is that you all are used almost on an everyday week to bringing somebody around here saying, here's somebody else to get the news of God's love. You're being used. And so don't throw rocks at each other. Don't throw rocks at yourself. Use rocks to build a bridge. And let's be those wounded healers that are take our wounds to help people find the Lord and to get their lives put together. Jake, you got another verse to give us?
Yeah, here's, before we, well, we were there. So let's read this verse and then we'll talk about it. So John 4, 42, this is the end of the story with the woman at the well. This is everyone in the town goes to her at the end and says, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Here's the goal that we're shooting at with wounded healers. None of us are perfect people. We've all got things in our past that we're ashamed about and things in our past that we're wounded over. And we've got things right now that we're weak in. But the goal that we're trying to get to is not to have all the answers or to be able to fix all of Independence's problems. The goal we're trying to get at is to say, how can I take exactly who I am and let Jesus use me to just pull people to him? You don't have to answer everyone's questions. I'm sure she did not have all the answers to everyone's questions. But she said, come and see. She had experienced Jesus, and then she knew where to point people to. You guys in this room have experienced Jesus. You've seen God do some incredible things here at Maywood. If you've been here even for a matter of weeks, if this is your very first Sunday, come and find out. Come and see, is Jesus for real? I'll be open and honest and say, we've got problems here at Maywood. We're not perfect people. We're not wonderful all the time. But let's be like this woman and point people to Jesus so that when people come to Jesus, they don't say, I believe in God because Pastor Bob is so great. They say, I believe in God because Dan brought me to Jesus. And now I know Jesus. Now I was reading in the Bible, or now I was praying about my problem. And because God got involved in my life, I believe in him. The whole goal we're trying to get to is saying, let's bring people to experience God. We don't have to do it all for them. We just have to show them, here's the door to walk through. Come with me to my small group, or see this thing that God did in my life. Come with me to my Sunday school class. Come with me to service. Normally, our time of response, we're trying to push you guys to change something about how you act. today I want to encourage you guys, as our worship team is coming up, to just pray that prayer that we were talking about earlier, that Jesus said to his disciples, open your eyes. I want us to pray and say, Jesus, open my eyes to how I can build that bridge to somebody else. Not someday, but this week. How can I this week, who is the person that Jesus wants me to work with to build that bridge? To say, I've been through something, and I want to show you Jesus. Let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are. Jesus, I thank you that you choose us even though we're not worthy, and that you're happy to be associated with us. Jesus, I pray you would open each of our eyes to who is the person that you want us to reach out to build a bridge to. And Jesus, I pray by your grace you would take all of our weakness and all of our mistakes and you would build it into something that you can use. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.